Listen up, Australia. They're not here.
They're not here.
They're off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch.
So we've got some best bits for you. This
is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
G'day, it's Dangerous Dave here. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy will return in 2019. But this week, we are giving you the Year in Review. Coming up, we're going to wrap up Mick Coyne with a song. Mel B, is she addicted to sex?
It got to the point where you couldn't bring a heterosexual man around the house. What she'd do him?
She would jump in.
She'd drop from the ceiling. I'm LB.
But up next is farting bullying.
The Victorian Supreme Court has thrown out an almost $2 million negligence case against a construction company rejecting claims a manager farting at a subordinate amounted to workplace bullying.
So that's where
this
it's got to.
This is Triple M.
This is Triple M DNA.
Sure. Hey, this is an 18-day trial in the Supreme
well,
Court.
Well, for God's sakes,
to work out if farting at an employee constitutes bullying. Now, Justice Rita Zammit rejected allegations by retrenched contract administrator David Hingst from Construction Engineering Australia that his supervisor repeatedly abused him, resulting in depression, anxiety, and physical injuries, equating to $1.8 million in damages. Man,
wow.
That's some good farting.
Wow.
Among the series of claims, the administrator alleged that the supervisor would regularly lift his bum and fart on him.
Or at him.
Hang on, that's funny. That stuff's dime a dozen around here. And that the behaviour progressed to the point where he would do it every day. Mr. Hinks said Mr. Short's behaviour was insulting and humiliating and that he had responded by buying a can of deodorant and spraying it over Mr. Short.
Yeah.
On one occasion, he refused to step into a lift with Mr. Short. When asked why, he called him Mr. Stinky. I think that name's taken. During the 18-day trial, more than a dozen... Listen to this. This is our system at work.
Yeah.
Over the 18-day trial, more than a dozen witnesses were called. The supervisor denied regularly passing wind in the communal office. He said he could not recall thrusting his backside at Mr. Hinks and pretending to fart, although he conceded he could not rule it out either.
Well, that sounds a bit...
I may have done it once or twice, maybe, but I can't recall. So there...
So that's what our courts have come to, an 18-day trial. I mean, bullying's a serious issue, but a bloke has been farting in someone's direction and...
Yeah, well...
Well, the judge won't
good
buy
on
it.
The, good on, well, he wasn't buying it, and good on the defence for using the little-known and, quite popular, he who smelt it dealt it defence. In this case was triumphant. The defendant at one stage asked to approach the bench and the judge make a wafting move and said, I don't think so. You see that move? The jury... I saw the jury. There's your 12 angry men. you know what they say? They often say justice is blind, but unfortunately, its sense of smell couldn't be better.
The judge also, when they approached the bench, said to the judge, I give that 5 minutes.
After the verdict, you have the verdict? Yep, I'd give it 5 minutes before I read that one out. Very good. See?
Yeah, it's
jump
gone.
In, it's fine. It's a lot of fun. Bullying is farting's not bullying. Maybe a Dutch oven.
Yes.
Maybe a Dutch oven. That could be considered
a lot of marriages
bullying.
Are in trouble then.
What did you stand on the one cheek snake?
What is
I
that?
Mean, is you know, your one cheek snake.
Oh, I don't want to know.
Yeah. At one stage they attempted a reenactment in the courtroom. I went horrible. I've got the court transcript here. Do you want to hear some of it?
Yes, please.
The court transcript as it goes says to you, so this for start, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? order. Bailiff, remove the prisoner, but under no circumstances pull his finger. order. Now, are you...
Where's the gavel?
Give me the gavel. Jesus, you sleep at the wheel again, Dave.
400 farts happening here, and a gavel.
Hey, one of those was live. I won't tell you which.
Looking back at the bits that made us laugh and the things we couldn't believe they said, this is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
Started as a dream.
I'm launching my own cryptocurrency. It's called Mick Coyne. You can only use it to buy certain things.
burger rings. Strippers accept it.
Of course.
Two up. It's good for two up.
But it's not a coin.
What
it's not a coin. It's not an actual...
Of course it's a coin.
No, it's not.
Exist. I've seen it.
It doesn't exist.
I've pressed it. It's got my face on one side and a dick and balls on the other.
And so the dream was quickly changed from a virtual digital coin to a real world hold-it-in-your-hand coin.
Warren Buffett took one look at Mick Coin and cracked a stiffy. And he's 87.
Did I just hear you say Warren Buffett cracked a stiffy?
Yep. That's an economic indicator.
But Mick was right. Financial markets went in a meltdown over the news of a Mick Coin launch.
The dollar has been surprisingly weak.
I didn't expect this.
People were thinking, holy cow.
And I find it really scary.
And currency traders everywhere were climbing over each other to back it.
Stop paying the barefoot investor here. Put everything you own into Mick Coin.
What could go wrong?
The buzz around Mick Coin was so huge, rival copycat coins began springing up. Including one from Hamish and Andy.
One H&A coin equals one Bitcoin.
So why wouldn't you just get a Bitcoin?
Well, they're volatile.
Here's how Bitcoin works. Do you want one?
No, thanks.
Dave, yes. Do you want a Bitcoin?
I'd love a Bitcoin. Okay. All right, well, you just lost an H&A Dave. Coin.
But now, the moment is here. Securely delivered by two guys packing heat from Armaguard. Please be upstanding for the unveiling of the world's best new currency, Mick Coin.
Yes, and as the boys come in to the studio live, we've got two of the lads from Armaguard.
Hello, guys.
How are you? What's your name?
I'm Wesley.
Wesley? Hello, Wesley. How are you? There's a microphone for you. Wesley, can I ask? Hi, boys. How are you? Now, this case here, I've seen this case before.
Where would Mick have seen that?
Well...
At the Brownlow.
At the Brownlow specifically when you've got very valuable cargo in there, the votes for the evening. Don't tell us the route, but you've travelled obviously from the Central Bank of Australia today to deliver this newly minted coin.
That's correct.
I am nervous because the boys are packing heat.
The boys have got guns
but
on.
I was about to say, they've also got guns on.
All right, you might need those guns if Jane gets any closer.
Don't get too close to me,
pull
fellas.
One out.
They're well cut, there. These boys.
So this was nervous for you. You obviously would have had your wits about you, given that this is like the crown jewels of the new economy, the new world economy.
You are doing yourself up a bit too much, I have to say.
Would you like to open it for me? Can I handle this? Do you need white gloves? What's happening?
Here we go, everybody. He's about to open.
Snap.
Oh, we need some magic sparkling music.
Look at that, Dave.
That's on...
That's as close as you'll ever get to a Mick coin.
No, right.
Thank you, guys.
Just
a pleasure.
Bounce it on the desk so people can hear it.
Oh,
it
sounds a bit tinny.
I beg your pardon. Out.
A little bit.
Out.
Hey, you won't get any.
So here it is. Guys, thank you for this. We'll meet you on the other side. This has been great.
Is this the biggest job you've ever done, guys?
I think the Brownlow was a pretty big job.
Yeah, I think this is bigger.
Get out. Yeah, I've had it. All right, you take that with you. I'll leave the Mick coin with me.
Thank you very much for bringing that in, guys.
Yeah, you've done well.
Much appreciated.
Good luck.
Thank you.
See you later.
Tyson there from Armaguard, now leaving the studio.
They've done a very good job.
That's it.
Here it is.
It's here.
Have a look at it.
You've got it.
So it has on one side my head, and I look like Caesar, and I have a laurel wreath.
According to yourself, you look like
Caesar. Well, I do. I look like I look like a Roman senator.
Or you look like Matt Preston with ivy on your head.
Shut up,
which
Jane.
Is not a bad
You're
thing.
You're not taking this seriously, Jane. Right.
I'm sorry.
Yes, well, Matt Preston can mint his own coin if that's how he feels.
Okay. Then on the other about it.
On the other side.
Yeah.
We have basically a dick and balls that's been covered by a fig leaf because you insisted on the fig leaf.
Well, I did because, for good reason, we had a bit of discussion about this.
You didn't
honestly,
like it.
If anybody could see us saying whether we could have a dick and balls on a coin, and I'm saying, I don't think that's tasteful.
So
I did ask for a fig leaf.
Yes.
For your modesty.
But if you flip it, it can still come up heads either way. Jane,
yes.
I'm going to give you a unique opportunity. Here's how Mick Coin works. There's 100 minted.
Yep.
And each one I'm going to exchange with someone for goods or stroke services.
No, I'm just getting one.
That they provide. No,
what do you mean?
Jane, you can
bid
like...
it's all yours?
Because it's mine. Careful.
Okay.
It's high finance, Jane. You don't worry your pretty little head about it. This is finance. But what I am giving you is a unique opportunity to bid for the first of 100 coins.
Oh, lucky me.
And if I'm happy with the exchange,
you're happy, all right.
You get the coin.
I know my way to your heart.
All right, what do you got?
That's through your gob. Through your stomach.
What do you got?
All right, how about I cook you a meal?
I'm listening.
Okay. What about
Is it home cooked? Was it home cooked at your place?
Yes, at my place.
What night?
Well, what night would you like? Lord.
Thursday through Sunday? anything?
A Friday night, does that suit you?
Oh, hello. Bang, is the bar open beforehand?
Yes.
From what time?
Would you like canapés?
I would like canapés.
All right.
And I'd like two cocktails. You have to make two cocktails on the house.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Negronis?
The Negronis.
Correct.
You've done your homework.
I've done my
homework. All right, and what's for dinner?
Well, I thought maybe some slow-cooked Greek lamb with roast potatoes.
All right. That's for entree?
No, that's main course. Oh, you want entree as well?
I want an entree.
God,
I want my canapes and I want something.
Canapes to you.
All right, whatever. Hey, who's got the coin? I want an entree, nothing soupy, no soup. I want something proper.
What about fried calamari?
Hello.
Yeah, with a bit of lemon.
Hey, Dave, you're not coming. Oh, what are you? God. What are you? Hey, how many people?
Oh, well, not too many. Well,
eight.
Four.
Eight. What about four? And are you sitting at the table or are you just cooking? What are you doing? Now, this is stuff that has to be. Are you just bringing the stuff in and out, or are you actually sitting?
No, I'm sitting.
Well, you're not one of the four.
I am one of them.
You and Rob are welcome, but you're not.
All right, and then I was going to do chocolate souffle
yum.
With ice cream.
Jane,
dessert.
You are the proud owner of the first Mick coin off the rank. You. Fiercely negotiated, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I should point out. We've had
God, that was hard.
Hey, just so we're clear, I've written all that down. Thursday through Sunday, two cocktails on arrival.
Yep, smoked salmon blinis and champagne to start.
That's someone standing at the front door with a tray with two different cocktails.
Get one of the children then.
Yeah.
That can go to work.
Four people, you not included, but you're welcome to sit if you want to.
Oh, gee, thanks.
And free courses.
All right.
Nick's parked his ass on the couch till January, and Jane's popped over to France for some big strawberries. So we're playing their highlights. This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
The world's newest and best currency, Mintcoin. What are you prepared to pay?
It's done. We're probably done with Mintcoin. It's been a great
A wonderful dream of yours.
And a very outrageous array of goods and services been offered to me. Do you know what we've done? Our producer, has done. He contacted Rusty from the Scaredies.
Oh, he's a good guy.
They've done a song for a while now. I've been everywhere, man. An absolute
classic. Oh, yeah, I know that song. It is brilliant.
I love the guys. He contacted Rusty, without my knowledge, and got him to put together a song and a tribute to every single item that so far has been exchanged for a
Now, I haven't heard this.
Neither have I.
Well, strap yourself in Australia and listen to The Travails of the McCorin.
While I was cursing my bank and all of this new crypto shit, when an idea struck me, and that idea was all about Mick. Why not make my own coin and then trade it for stuff for myself? And so Mick Coin was born, and the Nasdaq went and shit itself. My head minted on one side,
and I look like Caesar.
A dick and balls drawn freehand. The trades all started to flow from across this great land.
Hello, I'm listening.
'Cause I've got everything, man. Yes, I've got everything, man. Stick other money in the bin, man, 'cause my currency is king, man. I got promised a kidney, man. I've got everything.
Hello, Fitzy.
Hello,
if you have something that you think I may covet, something that may be of value to me, fire away.
How would you feel swapping it for another RDO?
No way.
That's a sale.
I got an RDO, bomber jacket, ticket to a NABBA concert, wedding dress, rabbit trap, vintage KFC bucket, hollowed out grenade, a copy of Hitler's book, a black label penthouse when the girls all still had bush cowbell, a wedding ring, a penis-shaped golf putter, one to Joel for his Suzuki Grand Vitara. I've got everything, man. I got everything, man. Stick other money in the bin, man. My currency is king, man. I got promised a kidney, man. Yeah, I've got everything.
What have you got for me, Serena?
I have a hand grenade.
This is fantastic. You know what I'm going to do?
What?
I'm going to drive everyone mad around here by rolling that into their room.
I got a chainsaw portrait, spanner set from Bathurst, customised homebrew to satisfy mixed thirst, Zeppelin, 7-inch dunny roll with dad jokes, 10-year-old Sean will show some mix and judo throws, hangover clinic session, motorised bush bike, Roy Jones boxing gloves, signature to Mike. I've got everything, man, yes, I've got everything.
I have a genuine, in its original wrapper, chocolate eclair that's been in my centre console for 4 years.
Well, should you ever ever have the need, I have some breast milk here I can offer you, freshly pumped.
Sold. Breast milk?
I prefer Celador myself. But
I've got everything. I got an old saddle, breast milk, vinyl of Disco Duck, goat's head, tea towel, lesson with nunchucks, Zimbabwean, $100 trillion note, Allison, Kylan, Jackie O's gravy boat, Triple M, Velcro wallet, circa 99, a graduation dress, from ladette to lady. I've got everything, man, I got everything, man, stick other money in the bin, man, my currency is king, man, I'll probably need that new kidney, man, I've got everything.
I'll give you a kidney when you need one.
How would you describe your drinking and lifestyle?
Well, pretty good now.
And I want you to start living cleanly.
I got a Warnie doll, balloon ride, steel panther drumstick, rock collection, box of matches, a guy who'll name his kid Mick, apprentice for a day, some albums by James Rain, V8, hot lamps, dinner cooked by Jana Holden, racing jumper signed by Peter Brock, a trip to the strippers making Mick hard as a I've got everything, man.
Steven? I've got a Swiss mountain goat.
Wait, of course you do.
What's it called?
Gary.
I've got everything, man. I've got everything, man. Never thought you'd all give that, man. I have to doff my cap, man. But there's just so much crap, man. Cause I've got everything. I admit that it'll probably end up at the tip till end. I've got everything.
Oh, Rusty.
Wow.
That is
awesome. Yeah.
Hello, Rusty. And well done, Marshy. And a great tribute to a great currency.
A great tribute to yourself.
Yeah. Well, as the.
Oh, my God.
Hey, whose picture's on the coin?
I don't even want to talk about what's on the coin.
Do you want to have a look at the coin?
No.
Have a look at your coin?
I'm done with it.
The bits that came up when we searched the word funny on our archive computer. This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
She's read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source, so you don't have to. Jane Kennedy's Entertainment Report.
Mel B's in a very bad way at
Mel
the moment.
B, who's Mel B?
From Spice Girls.
Spice Girls Mel B.
Scary Spice.
Yeah.
What's happened?
Scary Spice.
Oh, look, she's had a very difficult 6 months, she says, and she's battling booze and sex addiction.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, let's hang out.
Okay, so her friend Rusty claims Mel slept with 3 men in one day.
Right. Nothing unusual there. That's just business
as
usual.
We said she'd be doing this guy and that guy and then the chauffeur who brings her home.
Jeez, busy.
Should be more of it.
She was with the artist Danny Lopez, whoever he is, for a few months, and some Corsican guy who's a regular. And she also apparently,
yes,
allegedly, was with one of the boys from, was it Backstreet Boys?
Which one?
Duff.
Oh, no. I don't know if it was. Hang
could have been all of them.
Hang on. I have to get my boy
that's
band
a sex addiction.
I've got
form an orderly queue, Backstreet Boys. That's when you know you're in trouble.
Well, here it's a younger brother.
I'll even do the little Bond one.
Aaron Carter.
Oh, that was him.
It's a Backstreet Boys brother.
That was a little blonde one's brother.
Yes.
Okay, now she does have an issue.
Aaron Carter, who's 30. Look, I'm not laughing because...
You are laughing.
Well...
Because it's funny.
Look, I've always doubted...
Didn't she say... Wasn't there a quote in there? She goes... It got to the point where you couldn't bring a heterosexual man around the house. Or she'd do him.
She would jump him. But look...
She'd jump him. She'd she'd drop from the ceiling. She'd grab him. I'm Mel B.
What is she, Scary Spice?
She dry up your leg as you walk in the door. That's what Mel B.
Why
so
does
scary
she get
spice,
like that?
Frightening.
Why is she you got know, like that? I'll tell you, she was...
She's addicted to sex and there's not a problem with it. There should be more of it.
No. She was married to a madman.
Hire that
for
woman.
For a start.
Well, who was
Harry that? Belafonte's
drove,
son.
Drove him mad.
He was a shocker.
Who was Harry Belafonte?
Yeah, the
come, Mr.
Dale.
Carry me banana. Tell you what, she loved him.
She carried his banana. If you know what I mean?
Here goes Mel B, short for banana. Here goes Mel B, banana.
Now look,
here I come. Here I come, everybody. Okay, everyone, don't move. It's like a bear attack. Shh, don't move. Everyone, stand still. And Mel B,
listen,
she'll ignore you. If you just stand still.
Listen, we are not making... We're not making light of sex addiction.
We are.
Well, you know what?
I've got it. I do.
You have not.
I'm just waiting to get someone else involved.
Right, okay.
But at the moment, it's off the charts.
Oh, you right. don't have
it is.
Right.
It is. Oh, I've gone twice
don't
during the show.
Need
I can't
with
help
yourself.
It.
Keep I don't know what's
yourself.
Going on under this
you
desk.
Don't need to share.
Don't go near my chamber pot.
What's happening?
Hey, I think that's the end of my entertainment report today.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You didn't take it very seriously.
Because
what's wrong with it?
Because you ruined it.
Mel B. So what kind of treatment does she get? She would get smacked on the nose with a rolled up newspaper. Get out of it.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review. Listen up, Australia. While Mick and Jane have a well-earned break, we're heading back to the archives. This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy back next year. This week, it's Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review. Hey, it's Dangerous Dave here. Coming up a little later, Mick Malloy went on holidays to Mykonos. What could possibly go wrong there? We'll relive that story for you in just a moment.
The pool at my hotel.
Yeah.
I felt overdressed and I was wearing nothing but a G-bag.
Jane did something while dropping the kids off at school.
I did fall asleep in the car outside the school. And
waiting.
Wait, and then finally, a school teacher came and knocked on the door to wake me up.
And remember earlier in the year with all the Prime Minister troubles when ScoMo was elected our new Prime Minister? We thought, what would it be like if Mick Malloy put his hand up for office?
It's been a big week in politics.
It has been a big week in politics, culminating in today.
Hey, we're on the same page,
a new Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Scott Morrison is our new Prime Minister.
Yes, go
and Josh Frydenberg is our deputy.
Fix the hair. Fix the hair. Good
and
guy.
And they're very happy
bloke.
To have that position. That's pretty lucky too that they've scraped in there.
But Tony Abbott's still wandering around the corridors like a golem-like feet creature.
Speaking of golem,
Didn't quite get across. Dutton's, I don't think you've heard the last of
Peter Dutton. I don't think we have heard the last of him.
He was a substantial political
Turnbull did
force.
His last speech as Prime Minister, surrounded by his wife, daughter and grandchildren.
It's sad for him. I feel sorry for him.
You feel sorry for Malcolm
slink,
Turnbull?
Slink back to his mansion in Port Piper.
Count his minions.
Start up his $100 million business.
But there's a new political player who has thrown
a giant political giant.
A giant lion.
Heavyweight.
A very heavyweight.
Real heavy.
Oh,
super heavy. And he's put his hat in the ring, and that person is Mick Malloy.
Australia, in this time of political uncertainty, there is only one logical choice for the future.
Mickey!
When you need your next Prime Minister, you need Canberra's favourite son.
You can swing by the National Portrait Gallery and see a photo of me in my natural habitat.
In your undies.
Let's hit a pub drinking a beer.
Mick Malloy provides sound economic and financial knowledge.
Warren Buffett took one look at Mickcoin and cracked a stiffy, and he's 87.
Good old-fashioned values.
You know what? I've been this angry since Holden removed the ashtray from their cars.
Comprehensive foreign policy experience.
I went to Mykonos. The only thing I didn't like about the food was it was very hard to eat it while there were eight hotties dancing on your table.
A unique stance on law and order.
I've always wanted a conjugal visit.
He thinks outside the box when it comes to balancing the budget.
Hook out, here comes another GoFundMe page.
He has wide-ranging diplomacy skills.
Trump's an idiot.
Is culturally sensitive.
And I just made up a language. So I start going, I got Dagamundama.
Did you really?
And knows how to handle our troops.
That general arrived with two female officers and you called him General Three-Way.
He is one of Australia's greatest legal minds.
I'm intrigued by the High Court.
Are you?
I have to say.
Why is that?
Well, because I've been in every court other than the High Court.
And brings an X factor not seen before in the role of Prime Minister.
Goes off like a firecracker in a sack.
It's time to make Australia Mick again.
And remember, if the lodges are rockin', don't bother knockin'.
Vote one, Mick Malloy, for PM.
Pretty happy with that one. That's a big one. Well done, Mickey.
I will continue the fine tradition of great prime ministers. I will be found in the foyer with no pants on like Malcolm Fraser. I pledge to you, attend a strip club in New York like Rudd.
Yep.
I will scull the fastest beer in the history of time like Bob Hawke.
Wow.
Well, you're living up to all our expectations so far, Mickey.
All right.
Vote
stand
one.
By.
Done. Mick Malloy.
While they put their feet up, we're playing their best bits.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
There's a lot of people around this country who will relate to this. This is dropping your child at school in a car. And that there's
school drop off.
School drop off, and there's a special way that you have to go, and you know it's hard to park around schools.
There's politics to this, isn't there?
So much
you
involved.
You've seen some incredible stuff at school drop offs.
Well, I have. You know, we now walk to school, but in the days when they were very little, now there's nothing more scary than a tired, stressed mum that has more than one child that needs to be in car seats. So you're testy. You're angry.
Like a wounded beast.
You are like a wounded, the walking dead.
Oh, all right. Jeez.
Okay.
Anyway. There's been an incident
there
today.
There has been. I know. I just got sidetracked. sorry about that, everyone. There's been an incident in Queensland. A lot's happening in Queensland.
Queensland? Get a grip on it.
Sorry about that. Queensland, a woman was not happy because a man allegedly didn't allow her space to merge in.
Oh.
So she wanted to get in and he didn't give her that leeway.
Rookie mistake, dude. Mm.
So she jumps out of the car and she attacked him, fair dinkum. She jumps out.
This is where you need a bear in the passenger seat.
That's right. If she had a Kodiak bear there, she wouldn't have punched the man before launching her handbag at the windscreen.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
She also threw a water bottle at the car for good luck after he still did not allow her to merge.
Okay.
Game on. Yes. No parents or members of the school can, well, you know.
No one's commenting?
No, no one's commenting. But I did witness once.
You can give us a call. This isn't scheduled, but if you have had a school drop-off incident,
we
like taking your calls. Feel free to call us.
133353 is the number.
I literally was at the pedestrian crossing with the principal one day.
Yes.
And this woman slammed the brakes on her car and slammed the door at the pedestrian crossing, jumped out and started screaming at the principal. Screaming at him.
In front of the kids.
In front of all the kids, saying that it was out of control, all the way that the traffic was being handled, and they didn't have a clue of what was happening. And she was just absolutely irate. And she left, and I just said, oh, my God. I feel like apologising on behalf of everyone. He goes, Jane, run of the mill. Get it nearly every day.
Is that right?
What, from the parents? Jeez. Yes.
But at school drop-off?
At school drop-off. And pick up. It's bedlam, I tell you. A lot of people will understand.
If you get a wet day as well, Jane, when it rains, it's the worst, isn't it?
Tell me this. Is this true or not? I can't recall if you told me this. I can't remember if this was an off-air conversation.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I'm just going to roll it out there.
All right.
Did you drop the kids off in your pyjamas one day?
Oh, I've done that lots of times.
Have you?
Okay, here's another one. Did you pick him up one day in your pyjamas?
No, but I did fall asleep in the car outside the school. And and then finally, a school teacher came and knocked on the door to wake me up. So, yeah.
Is that uncommon? Has that happened a bit? Do people turn up in their pyjamas?
I think it's common.
Oh, it would happen.
Didn't you tell me you saw a doctor once in a surgical gown?
Just wait. Just wait. You've got to just be careful about what you're talking about, what is on air and off. And I've been very good then. I've told you that I drive pickup.
For everyone who's
I've gone to school in my pyjamas. This,
she's pointing at me.
I am pointing at you.
I'm
trying to reach over and get you.
So cool, when you fell asleep, how did they know you were asleep?
Oh, no.
Did you fall asleep or did your head hit the horn?
Why? Because there were two children left in a classroom for about an hour.
Well, mum's fallen asleep.
Kennedy kids waiting to get mum to pick them up.
They were waiting.
Oh, dear.
Oh, they were not happy with me.
I had an incident with the pyjamas this week. My boys were going to school on Monday morning, and it's bed week, so they're all learning about words to do, bedrooms and all this stuff, and so they were allowed to go to
pajamas.
In their pyjamas.
That's fair enough.
So
I've
got the boys, I've dressed them in their pyjamas and their dressing gowns and their bags. Taking them to school, and I'm walking through the school right towards their classroom. Yeah. I'm getting stink eyes from everywhere.
Why?
Well, in their class, there's only 10 kids, but the whole rest of the school there, and all the parents in the car park thought I was just a parent. They're all going, oh, look at it. Oh, well, that's just sad.
I couldn't put him in the uniform.
I've never been so happy to see another kid in his pyjamas in my life.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
You know, their mid-year break earlier in the year, Mick Malloy hopped on a plane and went to Mykonos.
You went away.
Went to Greece, yeah.
Have you been to Greece before?
No, I haven't.
Where'd you go in Greece?
I went to Mykonos.
Now, see, somehow I'm trying to imagine you in Mykonos. You know, I just don't know if it's so nightclubby. It's so racy.
What do you mean?
Is that you?
No, you can find a quiet time. Mykonos.
Really? There's a quite
spot? I knew there's a bit of me in that island when I was clearing customs, and the guy who was clearing customs was wearing a T-shirt, sunnies, and smoking a cigarette.
I go, see, that's okay. What you got to love about Greece. Oh, yeah.
Smoking, by the way, compulsory.
It's pretty full on.
How
isn't
fantastic
it?
Is it to walk into a restaurant or a bar and to see an ashtray? Oh. It's like you've travelled back in time to a more sophisticated and urbane setting where it was okay to do that stuff.
I was in a very similar part of the world,
right?
Greece, to be precise. And we'd go out with the kids, and there were faggots next to us, and you'd think they were shooting heroin. My children have never been so horrified in their life, and they were staring at me. I was saying, "Mum, can't you do something about this? What's going on?" I said, "Hey, your grandfather used to smoke in the car with the windows up when we were growing up, so harden up."
When we started in this industry, we could be sitting here in this studio having a cigarette right now.
Exactly. Now, tell me, did you like the – what about the food?
The food was great. Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about the food was it was very hard to eat it while there were eight hotties dancing on your table.
That's the thing. Tell us about that.
Waiter, I'd like to make a complaint about these eight hot women dancing on my table.
Talk
I'm
me
trying
that.
To eat my Greek salad.
Is that at some of the restaurants in Mykonos? Oh, they all get up and
pretty much everyone. That's how it happens.
It's a bit gynecological, isn't it?
You order the there's a little bit of upskirting, but they started it. It's not like I'm the creepy one.
That's true.
It's not like I've ordered it off the menu. I'll have the Greek salad, I'll have the moussaka, and eight women in tiny skirts, please. They just turn up.
Hey, what about the women?
They don't even have their
What about the women?
No, I'm just saying, that's part of it. I didn't mind it at all. Really? The women were great. The food was great.
Yeah.
My hotel. Now, how's this? We're talking about living in the modern world, and are we living in a nanny state over here?
Yeah.
And I believe we are. Okay. Trust me, there's no high-vis. There's no high-vis in Greece. There's no high-vis, and you are not going to lose a single demerit point on any of their roads. Unless you hit a goat.
Do you think they've invented the HR department in Greece?
The HR department. Don't tell it to someone who cares, dude. I mean, I was there for 8 days and one night, and I can tell.
Did you sleep ever?
They are eventually.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. Okay, here's just so you're aware of the difference. We've talked about smoking. You can smoke.
Yeah.
I, coming back from a bar, got disorientated and couldn't find my hotel.
Sure.
To cut a long story short, I basically fell down a hill.
Wow.
That I would like to see.
Well, I fell down a hill, which fortunately, though, was rolling towards my right direction.
Where he was staying.
When I came to.
Were you really knocked out?
Let's just say I was not far from my hotel. And now imagine this picture. I turn up in the foyer of my hotel, drunk, covered in dirt, with twigs in my hair, and get a standing ovation from everyone behind the front desk. That's a good place.
That is awesome. I went on
a boat trip. I'll tell you what, Captain Scatino was mucking around down the shallow end. Oh, I'll tell you that
I hope you had a life jacket on when you went out.
Well, I needed one on shore. I needed the little whistle. Really? But it was, and I'll tell you, guess who the first person, I kid you not, on the first day there, I walk into the first bar. I guess it's the first person I see.
Well, there's only one person who I could think of, and it wasn't, was it?
Nick Gianol. the king of Mykonos
himself on day one.
He was a gentleman and a wonderful host. And
he's great.
We got together for a couple of occasions. He did one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen.
What's that?
If you underestimate his superpowers,
never
on Mykonos. a friend of mine lost his watch, and a very expensive watch. And Nick made a call to the chief of police and just said, "Can you just anyone out there who fences anything on this island, just let me know." The watch was delivered home.
Get out.
In about 4 hours.
No way.
How's that?
I love it. Good on you, Nick.
That's where everyone went up. I'm with Nick.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's what you got to say.
Good stuff all around. Had a ball.
Did you have a bomb off? That's what we had.
I beg your pardon?
Where there was 14 of us all staying in a house together. And the highlight of our trip was the bomb off.
The bomb off?
Yeah.
I wish I was there for that.
Oh.
Off a high board?
Dads were involved. A lot of water was splashed out of pools.
Sounds like Bondi Rescue should have been involved.
They were on standby.
Can I tell you, I was
a judge.
The pool at my hotel?
Yeah.
I felt overdressed and I was wearing nothing but a G-banger.
While Mick and Jane binge some Netflix on the couch, here's another highlight we've found in the archive. This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.
Andy Lee is with us.
This is obviously the station for rock.
Mm. Well, it is. It's the home of rock. It's the house of M's.
Yeah, we love the Oils.
We do. We love the Oils. Jane's got it. Every day Jane goes, that's my favourite.
King of the Mountain. Song. It's King of the Mountain is my favourite song.
No.
Well,
no.
I was wondering the other day, I was seeing a film clip and Peter Garrett with that very iconic dance.
Unbelievable.
But it's new. It's unique. Mm.
Yeah, five in a row. Rob played him.
Rob played him.
Great effect.
Yes.
Question I had for you guys is, do you reckon he had to run that by the band?
What do you mean?
Do you think he had to? Do you think when he went to do the dance?
I'm going with the.
Did he? Because I wondered that. It's the same as when the lead singer is going to wear something weird. Do they go to the band? Hey, I'm going to wear this big hat. Did Peter Garrett go? Hey guys, I've been sampling this at a rehearsal. I mean, sampling this. What do we think?
Wow.
Shall I run with it? Should he have been responsible enough to ask the band? Or is the band at the back there going, what the hell is he doing?
He's not changing. Let's just keep it.
Would Tina Turner have run the Nutbush? By
Ike.
By Ike.
That's what I wanted to ask. So. Everyone out there, I'm sure these guys have played in bands. 133353.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Do you think Peter Garrett would have had to ask the band about his dancing style?
Wow.
Peter, if you're listening, call.
Peter, give us a call. 1-2-3-5-3. It'd be great to hear from you.
But or if you are trying to, if you're going to make an outlandish frontman move, is it your right, natural given right as the frontman, or do you have to run?
Michael Hutchins had moves. Yeah, Michael Hutchins had that sort of, you know, people didn't.
Swagger. His was just pure sex, wasn't it? I mean, no one was complaining about that. I don't think too many are getting. I'm not sure if people were as aroused by Peter Garrett's dance.
I interviewed Peter Garrett once on TV, and I asked him because he was in Parliament at the time.
Yeah.
I said, can you do me one favour? If you ever cross the floor, can you do it with both arms out and doing the... That would have been the greatest moment in Australian politics, bar none.
We got Peter on the line. G'day, Peter.
Hey, Jane. Hey, Mick.
My heart started jumping a bit there. It's the real Peter Garrett.
I didn't want anything to do with this bit.
Oh, either did I.
I said from the get go, whatever Peter wants.
A little bird told me you were dealing with the deep and meaningful this afternoon.
Hey, we cover the big topics on this show, Peter. Yeah. You've got to know that.
I know, I can hear that.
And Andy Lee's here. He's brought this subject to the table.
Well, Pete, I mean, this is great. I want to know, how did it evolve? Was there a band?
Tell us.
Did you go, hey guys, I'm thinking of doing this? Was it on stage or in a rehearsal?
I can't believe that A, that you're that interested, and B, that you expect me to remember.
But you know when you do school concerts, Pete, and maybe you were doing some cover songs. Were you doing it then when you were like a kid? Can you remember that?
Can you remember that?
Carols by Candlelight. Who's the kid on the end? Tell him to rein it in.
Look, it's fantastic that I've been able to give a bunch of people license to go out and let rip no matter what, no matter what it looks like. I've never thought about it for one second. I still don't, you know, to be really... Right. One of those things.
And do you think
totally unself-conscious.
Good.
That's just happened.
And Peter, do you think, and we're talking to the real Peter Garrett here, do you think when you were doing it, do you reckon there were any discussions backstage amongst the other guys while you were going and getting a water or something as to whether it was a go or not?
I think that's highly unlikely, Andy. I think that it's more likely that this kind of maelstrom thing that the Oils have always been, and even, you know, it was still there when we went out this last time, none of it's particularly cerebral. It's all...
I remember one gig, Peter,
it's
where...
It's about loud noise and light.
Well, it was the greatest Australian concert of recent years.
I've got one thing to tell Peter.
Fire away.
Peter, I got to see you, and I think it was Sound Aid for the bushfires at the MCG.
Always doing something for the people.
Yeah. It was an incredible concert. Yeah. You guys came back out and played, and Hamish and I were lucky enough to be on stage and introducing a band before. Yes. So, you know, 90,000 people. Hamish was just high on the excitement, and the crowd could actually do it. Anyway, a friend of mine, Tim, who's actually director of True Story, he was there, and he's the biggest Oils fan in the world.
There's plenty.
He's... email address is oilsrock@hotmail.com.
Right. But you should and, sue him, Peter.
And you were coming off stage, and Tim thought he had this opportunity to come and shake your hand, and he surged forth because he'd asked me whether I could get him side of stage. And as he went forth, Gudinski came past and kicked him in the ass as hard as I've ever seen someone get kicked. Literally kicked him out of the way with a roundhouse to his bottom. And so, and you just glided on past. And I just wondered how many people as Gudinski just glided out of the way for you. You've got a great security man there.
Oh, God, I hate to think. the really interesting thing about all of this is that I've got this really strong view, and I've always had it. And as I said, you know, we don't think about this stuff too much, but I honestly do believe that at our better moments, we're up for singing and dancing and telling stories and singing songs or doing whatever. And we've been lucky enough to do it, you know, for a long time for a living.
Yeah.
But you know, we never really sort of agonise too much over it. You can't, because if you agonise over it, A, you'd see yourself and you'd realise that you look pretty silly and you'd stop. And secondly, if you agonise over it, you lose the magic, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just organic.
And keep going.
Oh, yeah. Love
I'm
it.
Writing that down, Peter. That is a lesson from the master for everyone out there thinking of getting involved in any kind of artistic endeavour.
Hey, Peter, thank you for joining us today on Kennedy Molloy. That is just a real treat for us.
The great Peter Garrett joining us.
Nick Parker's ass on the couch till January, and Jane's popped over to France for some big strawberries. So we're playing their highlights. This is Kennedy Molloy's Year in Review. This one takes us back to May.
Mickey,
yes,
you've got a bit of a spring in your step.
I can't talk about it.
I don't know. You've changed.
When I'm on set,
you have changed.
I've got different sets of friends. I've got you. I've got my radio friends. You know, my TV friends. I'm really enjoying my movie friends at the moment.
You're what?
You're doing a movie.
I'm about to tell you, hey, Captain Obvious.
What are you talking about? Did you have to...
But I'm on set. That's all you need to know. I'm getting...
What's the film?
I can't tell you the film right now.
Well, we're going to have to
guess.
It's
a porno.
Well, no one's going to see that.
I'm
if you don't mind me saying.
Well, how dare
it's
you?
It's not a porno.
No, it's
Is
not.
Is it a biopic?
It's a biopic.
Who
it's
are you
all
playing?
I'm going to say. Look, I'll tell you this. It's not Richard Clapton. It's a biopic. I'm not the subject of the biopic, but let's just say...
Oh, I'm intrigued.
Do you know what I'm like? A young Russell Crowe on set. I really am.
Well, you're just what? Are you a bit... Are you good to work with?
I'm not, but you're not allowed to look me in the eye. Do you know I heard about Tom Cruise once?
What?
I heard Tom Cruise wanted to tell... it was on Mission Impossible or something, and he wanted to tell the crew off.
Yes.
So he went into makeup, took his shirt off and had them make up his entire upper torso and face so he could run out and rouse on the on the crew.
Did he really?
Yeah, so I gave that a go.
How did that go?
A lot of makeup.
A lot of time in makeup.
Do you know what
too?
They did? I put on 20 pounds for the role.
Yeah,
they didn't ask for it.
We've had some callers still trying to guess what movie that you are in because you're a bit of a
hot
shot.
Well, I think Dave has some opinions on this as well.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Has anyone suggested Matt Preston the movie yet?
No. A biopic.
Richard Clapton has been suggested.
Richard Clapton.
Has a biopic. I could play all the roles.
We've also had a suggestion from Brent on our Facebook page saying, are you playing Tony Mockbell?
Oh, yeah.
Tony Mockbell when he was caught in Greece.
In Greece.
Yes.
When he had
to haul him
when
back.
He had the roadkill on his head. He had a hairpiece, but they clearly put it on.
They mischievously put it on backwards for his mugshot.
I would love
shot.
To play Tony Mockbell. Okay. I mean, I've modelled myself on him for some time.
Darren's got one that I thought of too. In fact, I thought of this last night.
Oh, you seem to be laughing.
I am laughing. Darren, who do you think Mick should play?
Oh, I reckon he's a spitting image of HR Puff and stuff.
I tell you what, we've already got our witchy poo over here.
What about Grimace? You'd be a good Grimace from the McDonald's world.
Yes.
Remember the big purple thing?
Well, we've got a Mayor McCheese here. Dave, you seem to be enjoying this a little
That's
too
so
much.
Good.
More,
thanks, Darren.
HR Puff and stuff.
Good on you, Darren. Who do you think Mick might be playing, Laurie?
I think he will be playing Les Patterson, The Life and Times of Les Patterson.
Get off, Laurie.
Why would you want to destroy another actor's liver when yours is already done?
Laurie's got the moves today.
My liver has its own trailer.
One more. Jenna?
Hi.
Hello, Jenna. Who do you think Mick might be playing?
Firstly, Mrs. Doubtfire springs to mind.
How dare you?
Yeah,
go on.
Love you, Mickey.
Thank you.
And then, twins with Mick and Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, so I'm the little stumpy guy.
Twins.
You're the Danny DeVito.
I'm the Danny DeVito. Liam Hemsworth. Yes.
What one you're going to love, I think. I think you'd do it. Ron Jeremy.
Oh, yes.
Now, let me just finally put this to bed. You've got a film role.
I do.
We've been hearing about.
All right.
We're a bit over it, to be honest. You've been banging on about it.
All right.
You're in a movie.
I'm in a movie.
Right. What is it?
Yeah, come on.
All right. The film is Rides Like a Girl, which is the Michelle Payne
Ride
story,
like a girl.
Which is going to be fantastic. And I'm it's in two scenes. It's a very small role.
Oh, no, you've said
I'm playing a kind of a colourful racing identity.
Do you?
But I keep pushing for more.
Scenes.
I keep pushing my character for more scenes.
What do you mean?
I've worked out my trainer would ask Michelle to ride side saddle. So I'm playing a trainer.
Do I need to call Rachel Griffiths to give her
How about this? This is my latest. I reckon my character would have an electronic voice box.
No, Michelle, you can't ride that like that. There are no girls. We don't have girls on the racetrack.
I mean, is that upstaging?
Do they know what they're getting?
I want to do a nude scene, but apparently even the horses are refusing to be in a nude scene with me, because it's like that. Hey, and in the mountain yards, you know, my horses that I'm training.
Yes.
I'm going to get those Spanish dancing horses.
Paloma, what are they called?
Here come his horses.
Those Perth dancing
horses. Yeah, you know, the ones up and down on the spot. Oh, they look so sexy. I did pitch to them that we could rewrite the film and the closing scene, instead of Michelle Payne riding, I ride it.
Yeah.
Get off, Michelle. I'll handle this. And I ride.
I'm going to call Rachel Griffiths tonight.
Across the line. It's in a photo and I chuck a brown eye.
This is Kennedy Malloy's Year in Review.